live.
We're live. All right, shalom, everybody, all over the world. I hope you guys are tuning in, and you're finally going to get that duet that you've been wanting.
Please don't. Kidding. Please don't do it.
Don't. Oh,
please don't do it.
No. Okay, so we're going to let Rashad. I think that Rashad, go ahead and praise work. Give some praise and worship, and then we can get started. All right?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
I'm all dressing up like no one's here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right.
Here we are. And I love praise and worship. Before the word. Who does praise and worship before they pray in the morning? You do? I sing, I sing first and then I pray. It always feels better. I don't know why. Praise God, yeah. Well, that's your gift, that's why. All right, here we are. I'm gonna roll through these cards real fast. And first of all, Valletta Brinkley from Indianapolis, Indiana, who sent me this beautiful card, says, thank you. This better be the right one, yep. This is Pastor Sandy and family, just a shout out to let you know how much I appreciate your teaching. I look forward to every video you post. Your Bible and Hebrew teaching is great. Bless you and everyone who helps support the ministry. Keep barking. Jesus is coming. Valletta Brinkley. Praise God.
Pastor Sandy, somebody sent us a flying fish that they did.
The so picture?
A picture, a flying
I fish. Saw that flying fish. That's a good...
We're going to do a t-shirt with that flying fish.
Okay. Might as well.
Flying fish on the way to the car.
And this is from Joshua David. Do you know this guy? Is it your brother? Joshua Davis.
You know, there's more than one Davis.
Okay. I just thought it was a family member. I was like, oh, you're... One of your family members sent the card.
I wish.
All right. That's Pastor Ben's card. Okay. Praise God. Yeah. Not a family member, though. Huh?
Maybe a cloud party member.
All right. Aaron and I, Mendendorp. I'll try to say it. Pastor Sandy, I am so appreciative of all you are doing to prepare the church to go home. And we are going home. And today and tomorrow, I hope. Ooh, man. Well, I'll get to it in a minute. I have learned more in the last year and a half from your teaching than the last 25 years in any other church. See you soon, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. Me too, Aaron. I've learned more too. I'm telling you, God is awesome.
Yeah.
And here's a baby lamb. This is from Amy Comier. I thank you for your ministry and teaching and awesome humor, because Pastor Ben is funny. He says, I've been following your YouTubes for some years now, and I am happy to have found you and Pastor Ben. I can't wait for the cloud party. I pray for you and your family and your families. Praise Yahweh, because it is going to be a wonderful event. It sure is. Wow. Okay. Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. And God bless you from Amy Comier.
Amen.
And then
Amy sent me a card too, and Mother Brenda.
Now, this right here is from Danaka, right? And she did her letters, and she did them beautiful. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, Hey, Vav, Het, Tet, Yad, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun. Well, she did it all right, right? And then she wrote Genesis chapter 1 on there. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim et haaretz. So she is cooking on her homework.
Smoking.
We got to get that degree ready for her, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
If we got time. So I got your letters and I have her card. Hello to my new brother and sisters in Christ. I pray all is well. I have loved the online prayer service. Hallelujah. Thank God for the online prayer service. Amen. And it says, that is what I grew up with and still believe in. Thank you also for always contacting me after each letter. It really does make me feel I am a closer part of the family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your homework was excellent, young lady. I have no red markers to put on that. Aaron, and yep, that's all of them. We can get started.
The calendar.
Oh my goodness, where's my calendar?
In the bag.
Is it in the bag? No, I took it out of the bag because I was looking at it. Let me see.
I don't know. Did I take it over anyone?
Yeah, you took both of them. I think so. Oh no, here it is. Here's mine. I'll give you yours back.
Thank you.
Lord, forgive me. I didn't steal it on purpose. All right. And this is a Hebrew calendar. Very beautiful. Wonderful stuff on the back. And we are almost at the end of the fourth month, and I'm looking for the ninth of Av or sometime there. And here, let me get the...
I circled where it came from.
And this came from Mark Biltz, El Shaddai Ministry. You know who Mark Biltz is? He wrote Signs of the End. Okay, remember that? He wrote two or three different copies. I gave a copy of this to a guy from Israel. He read it and wrote me back. He said it made him cry. It was just so much information in that book. Thank you, Mark Biltz. This is one of my, you know who this is? This isn't our guy. This is Mark Biltz, who is, who did the sign thing. The four thing. I'm thinking of, you know who I was thinking of? Oh, I'm getting old, Pastor. I'm getting worse than you. Let's see. No, this is Mark Biltz from El Shaddai Ministry. Did we? Wow, this is nice.
It's not the El Shaddai in L.A.
No, this is El Shaddai in Washington. Right. Yeah, Mark Biltz, I learned a lot from him.
Really?
He's the first one who did the feast days. I got those DVDs, the feast days. And then he used to have like live stuff that I used to listen to. His best teaching was the Red Heifer. I've taught on it before, but it's...
Those aren't the DVDs that somebody discarded and you found and collected them.
Oh, no. That was Chuck Missler that I found to hit. Somebody threw his there was DVDs in the trash can. Yeah. I found them. Or were they CDs?
DVDs.
I think it was CDs, yeah. Yeah, somebody threw them. Chuck Missler, a whole bag of them. And I was like... It was like Bible school for free. I was like, wow. So praise the Lord. Let me get my fan on me because I'm excited and I know, and I don't want to faint or nothing. Does everybody have a study with them tonight? All right. I'm going to, Julie, why don't you come up and pray me in? And then we'll get started. Do you pray like Pastor Ben, or you keep it short?
I'll keep it short.
Okay.
I got bus tires in my back.
Sorry, Pastor Ben. Okay.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. I ask that you bless these words coming out of the pastor's mouth. Lord God, bless the airwaves that it's going out into, that the people watching right this second and any time in the future, Lord, would be blessed by the hearing of your word. Let it go and return, because your word returns.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have your work here today, me and Pastor Ben have been at this for so long that you know how you bought clothes and they went out of style and then came back in? You kept them too long? Well, but I want you to remember this, Pastor Ben. Now watch this, and this is a long time ago. IBM, Positive ID, Verichip, hope to get all humans tagged with microchip implants and have added to the chip recombinant DNA technology, published May 16th, 2010. Okay? Now, that was the first time that I read that, and I was looking at that word, recombinant DNA technology, and I thought about, okay, I knew the Verichip, so we went and we studied, we told everybody about the Verichip.
Right.
But I didn't know what recombinant DNA technology was. And then I was at home and I was praying, and the Lord had me watch a 4-hour lecture from MIT on recombinant DNA technology. So I'm sitting there, and for the first hour, I'm like, amazed, like, are you kidding me? You can do that? Like, I can interrupt your DNA by taking a foreign DNA and putting it in the proper place, and that DNA will replicate in your body.
Yep.
and make you half of whatever I put in you.
Yep.
So you wouldn't be completely human anymore. You would be, your DNA makeup would be half of what I put in you to you and half of what you were, okay? So you, so I just started studying recombinant DNA technology and just seeing how it works, you know? And I thought to myself, if they do that with the chip, if they were able to put that DNA in a chip and then give you the chip,
yep,
they could put another foreign DNA inside of you and make you not human.
Yep.
And God was like, now you're listening. You know what I mean? This is the plan, okay? The plan is to corrupt the human DNA. This is just as it was in the days of Noah. Because in the days of Noah, the Nephilim were corrupting the DNA of every living creature, and human beings were the first to go, right?
Yep.
So destroying your DNA has now come all the way back around. And this, first I read this article in 2010, but then I spoke on it, I think, in 2013. I'll go and find it. But there's a doctor, Carrie Madge, and her name is Carrie Madej, and she did a video update that Bill Gates is funding recombinant DNA technology to add to the vaccines. And so therefore, anybody who receives this foreign DNA into their vaccine is going, that DNA is going to replicate in your body, and it's going to make you half of whatever you're not supposed to be. Okay. Now, the VeriChip was a very good company that started off. Okay. And I'm not saying a good company as in good people, because the first guy that exposed it, that the Rockefellers were investing in it, after he exposed it, he ended up dying of food poisoning or anthrax or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, but he did expose it. And then I was looking for it again in 2013 because I wanted to know what happened with that whole thing, right? And so I looked up VeriChip, and it said VeriChip no longer exists. I was like, what happened to the company? Well, VeriChip got bought out by a company called Positive ID. And so Positive ID is develops biological detection and diagnosis systems and all of this stuff. But this is what I wanted you to know. In the notes, if you turn to the second page, in the notes it says here, it says these include DNA cloning, so they can use this technology for cloning. And it says and cloning and cloning manipulation and construct DNA. I don't know all these scientific words, but it says also it can amplify ancient DNA that's put inside your system. Did you hear, guys, hear what I say?
Amplify.
It can amplify ancient DNA in your system. Okay, so what are they doing? So if I put a Nephilim gene inside of your system, or a synthetic gene inside of your system, your DNA is going to replicate that inside of your system, and you will no longer be human. So that is still the plan. Remember, I was teaching this in 2013. Their plan is not just to have a chip, but to have a chip that also will change your DNA, making you not human. And then now you get to the book of Revelation and you begin to understand why God said, if you take the chip, you can no longer be saved, because you don't have the DNA of a human being anymore. Okay. So I'm going to read on this page. It says, and the third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives its mark on their forehead or on, I'm going to read it right because some translation says on their forehead or on their hand, but the Greek reads they will receive a mark in their forehead or in their hand, okay? So they know that this is a mark that goes in the system, in the body of a human being. They too will drink. Now, those who take the mark, he says, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out in full strength into the cup of wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. So anyone who takes the mark, you're done. Okay, this brings me back to Pastor Ben calling me and say, why don't you say a couple of things about the coronavirus? And God put on my mind this very message. Do not take any vaccines, right? Is that what the Lord told me?
Yep.
Do not take any vaccine. The poison is in the vaccine. Because what they're developing is just what we thought about in 2013. They're not just interested in you having a chip so they can know where you're purchasing and where you're moving. They want to put it in you so that they can disrupt your DNA and make you not human. Yeah. Dr. Carey started off her speech by saying, what is human? What is a human being? Before she said, we even talk about the new vaccines that they're rushing out right now and not following any protocol, she says. What we have to understand is that what is a human being? And if you're going to put synthetic or foreign DNA into a human body and it begins to replicate, then you're going to ruin that person's complete DNA and they're no longer eligible for, because God didn't die for Nephilim. Okay. It says, do not take the mark, DNA modification, you will not be human. Let's go to the next page here. It says, I saw thrones on which were seated. This is Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I want to ask you a question after I read this, okay? I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus. You're talking tribulation saints, right? And because of the word of God, they had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received its mark in their forehead or in their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? So, how is it that they were able to still gain eternal life?
They didn't take the mark.
They did not take the mark. Okay? So that means they kept their testimony concerning Jesus Christ. And when they were asked, are you going to make allegiance to the, we're going to kill you. Now listen, when they said people were forced to take the mark, that means I'm going to kill you if you don't take the mark. Now you got to, you don't really have a choice. And most people are going to just say, take the mark. But there's going to be that very unique people during the tribulation that said, you know, well, I thought I was once saved, always saved, but now I'm in the tribulation. Or I thought I could live like that and still do that, and now I'm in the tribulation, right? Because it seems to me that the people that are in the tribulation are really like strong about walking for God now, you know? Because they're able to say, stand at the face of death and say, I would rather die than denounce or denounce the name of Jesus Christ, okay? So, so I want you to know that first of all, and then in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 it says, he that is led into captivity shall go into captivity. He that is killed with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is patience in the and faith of the saints. So if someone were to capture you, the only way that you're going to make it out is to do what? It says, if you're captured, if you're going to be killed, you're going to be killed. You know? So This is a different time that's about to come upon the world, okay? And we're not talking, because when I read this before, they weren't actually getting it prepared for people. It was just an idea that I thought, Verichip and Positive ID, I thought, oh, they're crazy. I said, they're really thinking about destroying the human gene pool. But now Bill Gates is backing all of this with great amounts of money, and he's ready to get this thing going. And this is why, how I know that we're leaving, okay? Now, I wanna say this, there's a guy named Dana, who knows that pastor name that had the dream? Dana something, okay. He gives this whole speech about the end times and all the stuff that's coming and being prepared and ready. And he doesn't say one word about the rapture.
Right.
And so when someone sent it to me, I went, okay, he says he's been a pastor for 30 years, and he just talked to us here in the most pivotal time in history, and he talks for, 10 or 15 minutes or so, or 20 minutes or so, and he's talking about end time prophecy, and not one time does he mention the rapture. So how do you be a pastor for 30 years and you don't understand the rapture? If you don't understand the rapture, you don't understand the plan.
Right.
So it doesn't matter to me, and I thank God, and I'm not blaming him, because I thank God that Pastor Ben and I were able to dodge having a board, having other people give us a church.
Yep.
You know, and it was offered, okay? We could get you a church, but you just got to turn your message in. We could do this for you. But it was like the Lord was leading us, like, don't do this, because if you have a board, then, you know, and this turns into a money thing, then now your lifestyles depend on how much money you make being a pastor. Paul would slap me, right? I mean, the one that used to be Saul, he'd be like, what kind of pastor are you, right? So we avoided that. And I don't know what type of church he was a part of, but if they didn't let you talk about the blessed hope, and you're here in the middle of a pandemic, and you give a spill about a dream, and for the whole thing. So I asked someone, why didn't he do it? And they said, oh, he's post-trib. And I went, there you go. Okay, he doesn't know the Bible, but he's having a dream. But so I'm going to say to, because he had another dream recently, and this other dream was that these wolves came into his church, and they were mad at the people who weren't listening, and they were trying to eat the pastors, right? And I'm like, okay, this sounds like and he's like, they didn't want people to have church and all this. They were really mad at people having church. And he's having these dreams, but these dreams are really about fear of what's coming, right? And if you don't have the blessed hope in your heart, that's the type of dreams you're gonna have. You're not gonna have dreams about being at a cloud party.
Right.
You know, you're not gonna have dreams about, you know, beautiful things that the Lord has planned for the church, because your whole mindset for 30 years of being a pastor, nobody's ever taught you that a wedding's been planned and the church is the first one that gets married.
Yeah.
So if I could talk to him, I would love to talk to him. Because if he doesn't know, I would love to sit down and explain to him the scriptures that teach him about the rapture. Or go to Chuck Missler. He has a thing called The Rapture and the Second Coming, the difference between the two.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful teaching, because it just clearly shows you that the Second Coming and the rapture are two completely different events. When Jesus comes back for the second coming, he actually lands on earth. When he comes the first time, he's in the cloud calling us up. That's not the second coming. He didn't even make it down here. So, and then if you don't understand the 7 years of tribulation and why Israel is owed 7 years, you're going to be, you don't understand scripture. So you're having dreams because you're scared about what's coming, but I got hope for you, Pastor Dana. Jesus Christ has a plan to take the church out of the world before, okay? Yeah. And that leads me to this. Let's go to, we're in Luke chapter 21. And Luke chapter 21. I want to read it from our page because I like the page, but I want to read it from the Bible. Okay. And it says here in verse 32, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. All the things. He just finished talking about the second coming and the rapture. He talked about two different things, the second coming and the rapture. So he's already talked about that. And now he says, I tell you the truth, this generation shall not pass, will certainly not pass until all these things happen. Rather, it's the last generation, the 120 years, or the last generation, those who saw the fig tree being reborn, being 80, or the 120, the end is still the same time.
Yeah.
Okay? And it says, be careful, or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon, everybody help me pronounce that next word. For it will come upon all those who live on the whole earth. Okay? So the flood, the same as in Noah's days, this thing that's going to happen is going to affect everybody on planet Earth. How is that possible? You're experiencing it now. Okay? The pandemic has happened to everybody on the whole earth. So somebody has the ability to affect the whole earth, okay? Now it says here, be always on watch and pray that you may be able, escape what? There's that word again. All that is about to happen. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So the promise from Jesus, because he's the one speaking here, it says that for it will come upon on all those who live upon the earth. But it says you watch and pray, okay, that you may be able to escape all that is about to come upon the earth. Okay, Jesus does not say that or promise us that you may be able to escape half of what's coming up on the earth. You understand? So I don't want to hear 3.5 year tribulation because they're not biblical. And Pastor Dana should know that's not biblical. You understand? When he says that the church is going to escape all, you think if you spent the first 3.5 years in the tribulation that you would be fine? Knowing that you're a Christian, boy, they would be. They'd be at your door early in the morning. You understand? You're not going to have a good time, first or second half. And anyway, the first half is the Antichrist coming to conquer and to bring men under subjection. And during that time, there's famines and pestilence and everything. This is before the second half when God's anger comes.
Yep.
Okay? So you have to understand something. When Jesus is promising us that we will escape all, that's something to dance about. That's something to be very excited about, because escaping all of it means you're not going to see the tribulation at all. Oh, how could you teach people? You're not preparing them. No, I'm not preparing you to go through anything. I'm preparing you to leave. That's what I want you to do. Yeah. I want you to be ready to go. I don't want you to be ready to run and hide food. And that's not the plan that Jesus promised us.
Amen.
So I'm going to take the word of God over you guys.
Amen.
Let's go to this next page. Now, listen to this. because Pastor J.D. Farad, he did an excellent job. He says, if someone believes that the church goes through the tribulation, he doesn't let that bother him as far as being a brother in Christ. If you don't believe that the church is leaving before the tribulation, I still consider you a brother, and I'm not as good as JD. I don't want to hang around you because you missed it somewhere. Somewhere in scripture, you missed a whole 20, 30, 40 pages of good material, right? I don't like being around people who say once saved, always saved, because it's like if we all have the same Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit gets on me, if I even think about, I don't even have to say it. I remember saying something negative in my mind because a guy was smoking a cigarette and I was walking up the metro to go to work and the smoke was got in my face. And I said something negative in my mind. I didn't curse anything, but I called him a little name. And the Holy Spirit said, "What you say?" And I sat down and he says, "That's not becoming of a Christian and you need to check yourself." And the Holy Spirit said, "You need to repent right now." And I'm sitting on the bench now in the metro like, "Father God, in Jesus' name, I shouldn't think of anybody that lay. Forgive me in Jesus' name." I should have stopped and say, "Man, you know Christ, right?" And not let the cigarette bother me. That's what God was looking for, right? So how is it that the Holy Spirit is so sharp with us, but yet with this other brother who says he's a brother, he tells him he can sin as much as he wants and he's still going to heaven? It's like we must have two different spirits, right? Now, I understand the teaching that there's been a lot of crazy people that have taught end time prophecy, and some of them come up with 3.5 years, and some of them come up with, we go through the whole thing and then at the end. But we could sit you down, we could teach you properly the scriptures, because only what the scripture says is true, okay? Now, when J.D. Farrar was reading it, one of the things that the Q people are saying was that if you get taken by the strange aliens, it's because you weren't worthy to stay, right? And so, therefore, you want to stay because Trump's going to turn the economy and you're going to get, you know, you're going to be debt free and there's going to be a reset and the whole nine, right? So what he was reading was that someone said, we are going to, for the people that are bad are going to be taken, and the people that are enlightened and ready to for the great awakening, or they're going to actually stay here, right? And of course, it's Satanism is big, and that's part of it, right? But if you are studying your scriptures, right, when Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah, then he says two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. As a Bible reader, you don't know what that scripture says until you study it. Because you don't know if one is going to be taken to go get beat up or one is going to be taken to get married. You don't know that because you didn't study the word. So if someone tells you, oh, you don't want to be one of the taken because they're going to bad stuff. So you never study what the word taken means, right? So when I did a study, I said, okay, the word taken is perilambano, okay? So it says one will be taken, perilambano. And it says the other will be afame, which means divorced. So perilambano means to take with oneself, to join to someone else, to oneself as an associate or a companion. So if I'm taking you, I'm bringing you as an associate or as a companion, as a friend, right? And that's what the word perilambano means. So when it says taken, I'm looking at this word in the Greek and I'm going, yes, I want to be taken, okay? Because when he says, or those who are left, alphame, it means to send away as a husband divorcing his wife. And so now I know what taken means, and now I know what left means, and so now I get to choose. I want to be taken, okay? Because that's what Jesus meant when he said, you're going to be taken, to be a friend and companion of God, okay? The scary part was alpha male, because the Lord said, if you can't divorce somebody you were never married to. So these are not non-believers that are getting left.
Right.
And that's yeah, if you didn't get invited, you were never left. You know, if I didn't invite you, you didn't get left. But if I invited you and you said yes, and then I drove off, you got left. Okay? So the Lord saying this word is not talking to the world. This word is talking to the other five virgins. Okay? It's talking to people that knew he was coming, was waiting, but were in disobedience. I don't need any oil in my lamp, and I'm not going to keep any in my lamp. When he comes, I know everything will be okay. Okay? That's a different mindset. Now, the in John chapter 14, verse 2, okay? And it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, right? And in some of your Bibles, it might say, I will come back and receive you unto myself. In my Bible, it says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Everybody know what this scripture is. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He uses the word paralambano, which is the same as taken. Okay? So you got to study that word, and now you see that in John 14, 2, he's talking about building you a place and coming back and get you to take you to the place he built you.
Yes.
Okay? Now watch this. It says Acts 15:14. So Simon stood up and he says, this is when all the people got saved, that were getting saved in the book of Acts. And Simon described to us how God intervened. It said Simon described to us how God intervened by taking a people for his name from the Gentiles. What does the word mean? He doesn't use paralambano because there's ways of speaking in every language. But he uses the word lambano, which means the same thing. To take... in order to carry away, without notion of violence, to take away, to remove. So even in Acts, he's saying that God is going to intervene and take a group of Gentiles away. And so there you have God still saying, I'm coming and I'm taking some people with me. And then you don't even want to get into Thessalonians, because Thessalonians says when the trumpet blows, those that are dead in Christ rise and go up to the cloud first. And we who are still walking will be caught up with them, raptured. And that word means what? To be forcibly grabbed and taken up. So there you go. Another scripture telling you that you're going to be walking around and you're going to be taken. So how is it that the whole Bible is talking about being taken, and you can have a dream and talk about all the horrible stuff that's going to come on Christians and never mention the rapture? That means we have two different education systems. We have two different mindsets. And then, because I'm not having any bad dreams.
Nope.
I'm having some wonderful dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the dream I had? Well, the bad side was on that side, but the Lord said, you go to the other side. And I went on the other side, and they were selling all different beautiful colors of roses. They were pink and purple and green, and they were just beautiful roses, and they were all $6. And God knew that I would know six is the number of salvation. And I was happy to not be on the other side of the island. So those are the dreams you're having if you have the blessed hope.
Right.
Okay? If you've gone years not teaching about the rapture and teaching about what God is going to do, teaching about the marriage, then of course you're going to start having bad dreams. Why? There's a lot of bad stuff going on. And every time you go on TV, there's some more bad stuff to hear. What I read about recombinant DNA technology coming back and them putting $400 million into the process and trying to speed up, get the vaccine out faster. I'm like, oh, Lord, I know you're coming now, because I know your children are not going to be sitting here going, I'm not taking it. You can throw me in jail or you can kill me.
Right,
no.
Right.
That day we will not see. I'm coming to take you from all that is about to come up on earth. And if there's a vaccine that's going to turn you into a Nephilim, I'm coming before that.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be up all night dreaming about crazy stuff because I stay in my word. You understand? And none of the word of God tells me when the tribulation comes, get a good pair of shoes. You know, buy, you know, get some Nikes, make sure they can run, get a gun, you know, hide some beans and stuff in the back. None of the scripture that Christ tells me about leaving tells me be careful and be ready to endure the harshest times ever. It doesn't tell us that. Okay.
15 minutes, Pastor.
Let's go. So now, as I read last week, Luke chapter 26, 17 verse 26, it said Lot, it says Lot left Sodom before anything could happen. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, eschomahi is the Greek word that it uses for Lot, okay? And so it says that Lot left Sodom before anything happened, okay? And then it says in Romans 11:25 that the blindness that is on Israel will not be removed until the fullness of the Gentiles, eschomahi, which means to travel and leave and enter another city. Did Lot travel and leave and go to another city? He eschomahi. So they used the proper word for him. You understand? So therefore, he had to leave where he was and go to another city. And it said Lot left, but it doesn't just say left like English. It uses the word saying, you take some action, you got to move and go away and move into another city.
Right.
And then in Romans, it tells us the exact same thing. Until the fullness of the Gentile leave and go into another city, the blindness on Israel will remain. So all of these things are telling us Gentiles are leaving. The Gentile church is leaving. The church is leaving. HaKol HaVarim BeYisrael. Oh, Yeshua Ba BeKarov. HaMashiach Ba BeKarov. He's coming soon. But the first time, Kodim Zman, he comes, he's coming to take the church, the believers in Yeshua with him. Then the 7 years of tribulation will begin. Then that's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And you are not bound to the time of Jacob's trouble. All Jews, I want them to know, you are not bound to the time of Jacob's trouble. You can accept the new marriage covenant that Jesus Christ has offered. And that new covenant says that now you can be saved by believing in the blood that he shed on the cross. You can believe in him, and he says he'll put his spirit in you and make you one of his own, and you don't have to be here during the 7 years. Everyone, oh, is Israel going to still be here? Yeah, the majority of Israel is still going to still be here. But there's some Jews in Israel that ain't planning on staying. They already know Yeshua, right? They get harassed in Israel, okay? They get a lot of things going on in Israel, and I'm telling you, it's hard. You want to be hard to be a Christian? Try to go to Israel and be a Christian. Because I saw a guy spit on, he was preaching the gospel and a guy spit on him. And I'm like, ain't nobody going to arrest this guy? He just spit on him. I guess if you're preaching the gospel, you can spit on people in Israel. But I was like, that's crazy. It's like they don't understand Yeshua, but I understand the plan, so I don't hate Jews. Because if somebody doesn't reject Jesus, then none of us are going.
None of us.
And so, understanding the plan, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6.
10 minutes, Pastor.
All right. Tomorrow we're going to go through the tribulation. We're going to go through Psalms 120 through 127, chapter by chapter. But where are we at now? Where are we going? Where are we going? We're in Isaiah. You're in 6. Can we, I hate when Christians hate Jews. It's like, what, have you not read your Bible? That's one of those things that I go, what are you doing? You know what I mean? I'm like, every time I meet them, whether they love Jesus or not, I'm very cordial. And I say, thank you. I know your people have been through a lot. I know a third of you suffered in Germany. And I'm so glad you're back in your land. And I'm just praying for the land of Israel. I'm praying for Jerusalem. I'm praying for all of God's people. And then I said, but you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah. Do you want to? Because I want to offer it. It's for you first, right? So here we are. 6 verse 10, and it says, he's saying to Isaiah, he says, make the heart of these people callous, make their eyes dull, close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their heart and understand with their and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and be healed. It would seem like if you're a Christian, you're going, but God wants everybody to be turned and healed, right? But not the Jews. You've been chosen for a mission. For a mission to do what? To direct the narrative. Okay? And now the blindness is still upon the nation of Israel. But they're going to cry out to the Lord at the end of the tribulation, and he's going to come and he's going to rescue them, right? So, but here is God saying, put a blinder on them. Put a blinder on them. And that's when you read Romans chapter 25, that it says, I do not want you Christians to be ignorant of the mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, Eskomahi. And so all of Israel will be saved. When? After the Gentiles leave. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob. So Israel will not always be in rebellion. He's going to turn it away from them. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. Okay? So God is going to keep his promise to Israel. Now, I got 5 minutes, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. This is what it talks about, okay? Because I don't want to go there. We don't have time to break down numbers. 7 sets of 70 are determined for you and your people, Daniel. 7 sets of 70. Do the math, 490 years I've allocated to you and your people and the holy city. And when it's over with, 6 things are going to be taken away. There'll be no more transgression, no more sin, no more. And it says, and the holy place is going to be anointed, and this is going to be the end of it at the end of the 490 years that I'm giving to your people right now. The problem is Jesus came and died on the cross at the 483rd year. And then Jesus says, now it's blind to you. You will not see me again until you say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. So now they got 7 years hanging. And they're like, wait a minute. You still owe us 7 more years. We need our temple built. No, I'll see you when you ask for me. At the end of the tribulation, when you request, when you speak, the water will flow out of heaven and give you the living water that you need, just as Moses was supposed to do, right? So, Israel has 7 years left. We're not telling you the tribulation is 7 years because we feel like that's a good number. The whole history is based on 490-year periods that they were supposed to have. And now they've been shorted 7 years that is owed to the nation of Israel. So what's going to happen when the church gets raptured? First thing that's going to happen is the time is going to be set back to 360 days because it's going to be 2,520 days, 1,260 and split it in half. And so you got, wait a minute, it's not It's not 2,520 days. It's supposed to be more if we're 365 days a year, right? But no, time gets turned back. If that time had not been shortened, no one would survive. So time gets turned back. And the Antichrist builds them a temple.
Yeah.
Now you guess what these Jewish people do? They start sacrificing animals again, and as if the sacrifice hasn't already been done. It's like Jesus already took care of this. You don't have to sacrifice any animals, right? But then in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist comes and says, "Where is the Holy of Holies?" And he walks in and sits down, and this is the abomination that causes his destruction. He sits down in the temple and declares to the world he's God. And the Jews say, "Uh-oh. No, you're not." And he said, "You better say that I am, or I'm going to make every nation in the world come to war against you." And so Zechariah tells us, every nation in the world gets called to come and destroy Israel. They want to destroy Israel. So God gives them a place to hide. And now a three-year war is taking place in the world, and the whole world is trying to destroy Israel. Until they finally say, "This is too big for us. This giant is too big, Lord. Please come back. You said if we said Baruch Abba Shem Adonai, you would return and rescue us." And at the end of that 7 years, he will return, disrupt the war, rescue the people of Israel. And guess who's behind him as he's coming with a sword out of his mouth? You on a white horse. So you think I'm having bad dreams? I'm having great dreams. I see myself on a white horse at the end of the tribulation. Like this. Tonto. Right? I'm riding. And we're rescuing the nation of Israel, right? So this is God's plan. The rapture, the wedding, the 7 year separation, all of this is God's plan. And if you start preaching anything different or trying or you've missed out on this, you need to go back and say, "What did I miss?" Because I see some Christians that are happy. Even through this pandemic, they're like, "We're leaving soon. We're leaving soon," right? And us that think we're going through the tribulation, us tribulation people, we're like, "We're having horrible dreams." You don't have to have horrible dreams. You can go and re-educate yourself concerning the wedding feast, concerning why Israel has 7 years, concerning all of this. Chuck Missler taught this all. You should have learned this when Chuck Missler was here. But if now we've got some people that can now teach you now, okay? So learn what the plan is. Don't just run off, start having scary dreams and trying to promote fear into the hearts of God's people, because it's not from God. It might have been a dream, but it's not from God, okay? And it's not for God's people, okay? So I want to encourage everyone, when you start watching stuff like this, look in your own Bible and look at your own promises, okay? Look at your own promises, and your own promises says, you're out of here. Revelation chapter 4, you're out of here. John chapter 21, seven in the boat, 153 feet, fish, you depart, you're out of here. Everything's telling us you're out of here. So I'm not having any bad dreams. And I'm going to pray for Pastor Dana that he stops having bad dreams, because they do not reflect the body of Christ. We are joyful waiting to leave. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Good word, Pastor Penny. Good word.
Hallelujah.
And you're out.
Hallelujah. Pray.